This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, commenting on a new book, The Extinction of Experience, Being Human in a Disembodied World, the author Christine Rosen. I welcome Peter. He's writing at Real Clear Politics because this is the challenging question. How much technology is too much technology? How much online is unhelpful in order to maintain social contacts? Peter, a very good evening to you. It occurs to me while reading your excellent essay that one of the vulnerabilities identified by psychologists, psychiatrists, geriatric practitioners is that older people become isolated from social circles, especially yes. Older males become isolated. And that leads not only to a shrinking quality of life, but health problems that would not be there was their sociability. Now, Christine Rosen is writing about a world somewhere in between a lack of social experience and using online as a social experience. Where are you in this spectrum, Peter? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Where am I in the spectrum? I guess I like to think that I'm in the majority who recognize that modern technology in general and our online experience in particular have bestowed great blessings on us. But like with all good things come costs. And in many cases, and we've been able to see this over the last decade or two, we can take our use of the internet, of smartphones, of smart TVs, of smart virtual assistants, too far, way too far, so that perfectly healthy people who could get up and walk to the next office or walk next door or walk down the street to talk with a flesh and blood human being are declining to do so in order to reside evermore in an online world.
I want to understand then, because you have the book, I do not, I'm reading your essay about it. The concern is that the devices become a barrier to human conduct, a human contact and sociability?
A barrier and a substitute. You know, we all know young people who think that it's highly peculiar to call somebody on the telephone. What we do is text message. And that's another removal from face-to-face experience. And actually, it's the face-to-face experience that Christine Rosen is especially worried about, because she says in the face-to-face experience, you get additional indications of communication. You get clearer tones, facial expressions, body gestures that help communicate meaning, which are lost to you when you text. That's when you don't see anybody. A telephone calls where you see only a flat face, and so on. So again, this is a matter of degree and a matter of measure. But I think that there's little doubt that we are spending all the time more time online, and especially young people. Fit, healthy young people are spending loads and loads of time online, and that's at the expense of time they might be spending at the playing ground with other friends and so on.
You take us to history, and I'm most attracted by the inaugural address by John Stuart Mill, an honorary rector at the University of St. Andrews. This is a period where there were no electronic devices to worry about. Mm-hmm. But his concern was modernity. Modernity. Is that a epochal concern? Each new epoch of technology or civilization worries about losing contemplation and sentimentality and romance?
I think it's certainly the case. Now, in reporting that Mill in 1867 was saying, we really must read the classical writers, the Greeks and the Romans, because the people who write today are people who write in a hurry for people who read in a hurry. You think he's talking about us. To say that worry has been a long time, that modernity is characterized by hustle and bustle, and the hustle and bustle is distracting us from the things that really count. To say that concern's been around for a long time is not to to negate the concern. It's to appreciate that we're seeing an ever greater intensification of the pace of the production of knowledge, the pace of the consumption of knowledge. But it also reminds us, as in 1867, Mill said, "I got an antidote for you. It's not perfect, but you will gain a lot by studying the classics." Well, I would say today in 2024, that same beautiful antidote to the frenetic pace of 2024 is still available to us to read the classics and to read, as I know you love, John, works of history.
Accurate. I had that experience just recently speaking to an author. Her name is Daisy Dunn. She's a young classicist, English trained, Oxford, reading the classics, Greek and Latin at Oxford, and studying the poets. And while speaking to her about her excellent new book, which concentrates on women in the classical world, I had this experience that I'd missed my life. So I told her, I said, when I came to choosing languages, I was influenced by my football coach, who was a German speaker. And then I was influenced by my friends. We took Russian class on Saturday morning to fight the Cold War, and I missed the classics. So I confessed to Daisy, and she said, "Well, you're doing very well in English." And I said, "Well, that's very kind of you, but it's not the same. I have to come to you for the translation." And if there's one thing I regret more than any other, is that that lesson is not commonplace. I wonder, Peter, yes, if we had a common experience as a civilization these days, whereas everyone was required in, what is it, seventh grade to take basic Latin and basic Greek, we'd have a lot less anxiety in politics.
I myself think it's an excellent recommendation you make, and I think it would have the consequences that you suspected would. And I can't help mentioning, John, that in that same John Stuart Mill essay, it was a live controversy back then. Mill put his foot down. He said, "We mustn't teach Greek and Latin in college." Now, why did he say that? He said that because colleges, he said, are not remedial schools. If you haven't mastered Greek and Latin by the time you arrive so that you can study Plato properly, why then it's too late for you. Now, the larger point is to restore our common inheritance. Of course, it begins with the Greeks. It doesn't end with the Greeks. Some recommitment to that common inheritance would actually give us a solid foundation for communicating amid the hustle and bustle and above the endless disputes about contemporary politics. So I'm all in favor of your proposed reform.
Back to Christine Rosen's genius. She recommends that we unplug, that we spend fewer hours. You know, my iPhone tells me how many hours I've spent online. Now, it comes across as a fact, but it feels like chastisement. Should I start paying attention? Is that necessary in the modern world? The iPhone wants you to know that you're overdoing it.
Well, in your case, I have no doubt that you're keeping it under control. But in general, yes, I actually think it would be a good idea if many of us made deliberate decisions to spend a little less time on the phones, a little less time in instant communication, a little bit more time with which you could also say, well, it was once a new technology, that is books. And it's true, by the way, when Gutenberg invented movable print, lots of the equivalent of cultural conservatives were upset that this is going to distract us from what we ought to really be studying and give us access to a wider range. But today, even the simple expedient of returning to books would slow us down a bit. It doesn't mean throwing out our phones. It doesn't mean declining to take advantage of the wonders of online. It means limiting it, balancing it against other opportunities for acquiring knowledge, and most importantly, of conversation, face-to-face with fellow human beings.
Does the author recommend moderation in all things? Because that would make a neat package. Does she come to that?
She, as far as I can remember, she never uses the phrase, but I recommend the book because the book is suffused with that understanding.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing his column for Real Clear Politics. The name of the book, Christine Rosen is the author. The Extinction of Experience, Being Human in a Disembodied World.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.